We are recording. Okay, thank you everybody for coming. So tonight's discussion is going to be about the time of day that the din occurs. So it's very interesting because, as we'll see from the sources, it's an interesting combination between a gadata, like some esoteric stories in the Gemara, and between custom and between halacha. So it's a nice blend, it's a nice mix of all the different areas of the Gemara together. So there's a fascinating Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. It's not referring specifically to Rosh Hashanah. It's actually referring to every day of the year. So the Gemara says the following. Omar, Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Shtayim Esrei Shois Havi Hayoin, that the day, as we know, is 12 hours long. The daylight is 12 hours long. So now, if any of us were ever wondering how HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, how he spends his day, so the Gemara outlines for us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends his day. Obviously, it's Kabbalistic, it's beyond our comprehension, but the Gemara gives us an outline of it scratches the surface of how Hashem himself, so to speak, how he spends his day. So the Gemara goes through it. The day is 12 hours long. Says the Gemara, Shalosh HaRishonos, the first 3 hours of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Oisik BaTorah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits and learns Torah. So again, whatever these things mean, it's beyond our comprehension. It's Kabbalistic. It's deep, deep mysteries of the Talmud. But the Gemara describes that the first 3 hours of the day, Hashem himself studies Torah. Shniyos, the second 3 hours of the day, so that would be hour 4, 5, and 6, the second quarter of the day. Yoshev vidan es kol ha'olam kulo. Hashem, and again, this Gemara is not speaking about Rosh Hashanah in particular. This Gemara is speaking about every single day of the year. The second set of the day, the second quarter of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world. And this is a scary thought. Kivin shiraya sheneschayev olam kliya. So the Gemara says, inevitably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu discovers every single day, day in and day out, that the world really does not deserve to go on. The world really deserves to be destroyed. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that second set of the day, the second quarter of the day? Omeid mikisei hadin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rises from the throne of strict judgment, v'yoshev al kisei rachamim, and he sits on the throne of mercy. So the Gemara is telling us that the second quarter of the day, every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world. We really don't have enough merit to exist, but it's only through the mercy of Hashem that the world is able to continue. Shlishias, the third quarter of the day, Yoshev Vizan is kolo oilam kuloi mikarnei re'emim adetzei kinin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he nourishes the entire world from the gigantic re'emim, different monsters and gigantic creatures, until the Beitze Kinim, until the smallest microscopic insects or microbes. It's interesting, just we had it recently in the Daf Yomi in the Sefer Shabbos. Beitze Kinim literally means the eggs of Kinim, of lice. But the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that the lice, they self-generate. They don't produce with male and female, and they don't lay eggs. So the Gemara actually says that this expression, Beitze Kinim, does not mean the eggs of lice. Rather, it means a creature that is referred to as Beitze Kinim, some microscopic creature. So the third quarter of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nourishes and provides nourishment, dictates the survival of every single creature under the sun. Revius, the fourth quarter of the day, Yoshev u'misachek im levyasan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu delights with the levyasan. The levyasan are these mythical, gigantic whales or fish that will eventually be served to the tzaddikim during the Emes HaMashiach. So this probably, the way Chazal describe it esoterically, it probably means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is delighting in the fact that Mashiach will come. Shenemar, as it says, and we say this in Baruch Hinafshi every Rosh Chodesh, Levyasan Zeh These live yasan, yotzarta l'sachek boy. You created them to delight in them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, kavyachol, delights in these mythical, these legendary levyasan that will be served in the times of Mashiach. Now the Gemara tells us, Omelei Rav Acha l'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, miyoyim shecharav beis hamikdash. Once the beis hamikdash was destroyed, ein schoik l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer delights in this world. It's a depressing thought. Now that we're in Galus, now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, so to speak, does no longer delights in the world. He's depressed along with all of us, so to speak, and he no longer delights with the creatures of this world. So now the question becomes, Berevias Mayavit. So after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu now spend the last quarter of the day? Because he no longer delights in the Livyasa. So says the Gemara, a fascinating idea. Yoshevu malamin tinoikesh hobeis rabba. So he sits and teaches the young children Torah. So Rashi explains there in Avodah Zarah that the children who passed away young, they merit a special place that they get to personally learn Torah with Hashem, in Shemayim. So everybody else, the big tzaddikim or the adults who pass away, they go to yeshiva shamayla, they go to some yeshiva that's up in the heavens. But the children that passed away young, they have a personal Rebbe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, kavyachol, is their Rebbe. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the last quarter of the day. Shenemar, the Gemara cites a pasuk, as mi yoyredeya, who does Hashem teach? As mi yavin shmua, gemoyle mechalav atikei mishadoyim, that those that were plucked away from the milk of their mother, the young children that passed away early, l'mi yoredeo, l'mi yavim shmua, that who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach? He teaches these children who are in Shemayim. So the Gemara says, u'mi kara man hava migmar luhu. So who used to teach these children before the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would delight in the Levyasa, and who would teach these children? So Iba Yisema mitatrin, either it was some super malach who represents the Shechina in this world, his name is mitatrin. That's a discussion into of itself. Iboy same as some say Hava Ha'aver Kadosh Baruch Hu did both. So it's a fascinating Gemara, an esoteric Gemara. The first quarter of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns Torah. The second quarter of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world and actually finds the world guilty. And it's only through mercy that the world continues to survive. The third quarter of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nourishes the world. And the fourth quarter of the day, while the Beis HaMikdash was standing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take delight in the world with the Levyasan. And after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer delights in the world the same way. Instead, he teaches the children that passed away young. Now, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Omar Rav Yosef, and this is where it's relevant to us, Omar Rav Yosef, Leilitzi Inish Tzilusa Demusafi Betlas Shoi Kamaisa Deyoyma B'yoymakama d'reishata b'yachid. So the Gemara tells us that if a person is davening on Rosh Hashanah b'yachidus, a person does not have a minion, the person is davening at home. So Rashi says, Mishabura brings, it's referring to a person who lives in a yishuv, the person lives in a community where there's no minion. Nowadays, we know all too well what it means to daven b'yachidus, the person is davening at home. Imagine if a person is stuck at home, and he has to daven the Rosh Hashanah davening at home. So the Gemara tells us, halacha l'maisa, based on this agadata, in the name of Rabbi Yosef, leilitzli inish silusa de musve. A person should not daven the musaf shmona esrei during the first 3 hours of the day on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So let's read it inside just to get the words. Leilitzli inish, a person should not daven silusa de musve, the prayer of Musaf, the Musaf prayer, b'tlas sho'i kamaisa diyoma, during the first 3 hours of the day, b'yom kama d'reshata, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, b'yachid, if he's davening privately, davening b'yachidus. Why? Why not? Dilma, perhaps, says the Gemara, kivin d'mifkid dina, because the Gemara tells us that there is a judgment going on. Dilma ma'ayne bu'uvde, maybe the person davening. Now Rashi explains there, because when you're davening Musaf, and you're talking about the Malchus and the Zichronius and the Shofaris. We elaborated a little bit on it last week. So we are being mazkir, we're mentioning ourselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we're really putting ourselves out there in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So perhaps that will create, Hashem will analyze our tefillas, because we're singling ourselves out, we're davening the yechidus, and maybe because of that we will be found unworthy. V'dachvu le'mitri, and perhaps our prayer will be rejected. So the Gemara says, a person should not daven his musit shmona esrei during the first 3 hours of the day, if he's davening the yechidus. Because since during the first 3 hours of the day, Hashem is judging the world, Hashem might find our tefillahs unworthy and might reject the tefillah. So the Gemara asks, "Ihachi detzibor nami?" If that's the case, how could even a congregation, why only if you're davening biyachidus, even the shul should make sure to daven musaf after the first 3 hours of the day? By the way, most of the time we do. Most of the time we daven musaf after the first 3 hours of the day. Maybe if you're davening basikin, maybe dashgama minyan, maybe your musaf will be before the first 3 hours of the day. But the first 3 hours of the day is basically this man of kriyashma. Like it says when they put on the shul bulletin, that kriyashma must be recited before whatever it is, 9:30, whatever it is. So more often than not, we're always davening. If we start davening at 8 o'clock or 8:30, then we're for sure going to be davening musaf after the end of the first 3 hours of the day, the second quarter of the day. But the Gemara asks, a tzibor should not be allowed to daven the first 3 hours of the day either. So the Gemara answers, "Ihachi the tzibor nami." Answers the Gemara, "Tzibor nefishas schus." A tzibor has a lot of schus. Now I'm sure everybody's thinking of the question. Rabbi Yosef tells us that a yachid, an individual, he's allowed to daven shachris the first 3 hours of the day, but the musaf, where he's talking about the malchus, achronis, and shofaris, we want that tefillah to really be accepted. Perhaps our tefillah will be found unworthy. Hashem is judging the world, and Hashem might reject our tefillah. The tzibor is allowed to, because they have the schus, the merit of the tzibor. But a yachid, he shouldn't risk having his tefillah rejected, so wait till the second quarter of the day. So I'm sure everybody's thinking of the question, v'ha'amrit, but didn't we say on Daf Gimel, Shalosh Rishonis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Oisik BaTorah, that the first 3 hours of the day, that's when Hashem is learning Torah. Hashem is not judging the world until the second quarter of the day. So why does Rabbi Yosef say that you can't daven the Musaf B'Yachidus during the first quarter of the day? That's not when Hashem is judging the world. Hashem is judging the world the second quarter of the day. Hashem is learning Torah the first quarter of the day. So the Gemara says, interestingly enough, Eipach, okay, so Rabbi Yosef must hold that it's the reverse. Rabbi Yosef, who made this statement that you shouldn't daven musaf alone the first 3 hours of the day, he must hold the opposite, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was judging the first quarter of the day and he doesn't learn Torah until the second quarter of the day. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara when Hashem primarily judges the world. Yibay Yisema, or if you want, I can say, La'olam lo teipach, really Rabbi Yosef agrees to what we said before, that the act of judging the world is the second quarter, but still Rabbi Yosef feels that it's better to daven musaf alone during the second quarter when Hashem is judging the world rather than the first quarter when Hashem is learning Torah. Why would that be? Why is it more dangerous to daven musaf alone while Hashem is learning Torah? So this is fascinating. Because Torah diksiv bei emes. Because Torah is emes. We all know that when we're learning Torah, when we're learning Gemara, so the analysis, the analytical svara of the Gemara, the precision that's needed to get the Gemara exactly right, what's the question, what's the answer, everything has to fit precisely. There's no room for just, you know, something like that, whatever. If we want to really understand what the Gemara is saying, what the Halacha is saying, we have to delve into the details and get everything clear. So the Gemara says a fascinating thing. When a person is learning Gemara, his mind is totally focused on emes, on absolute, unadulterated truth, precision, integrity. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns Torah, it's the same thing. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisel afdin mishuras hadin. So it's almost kaviyachol, it's almost impossible when a person is immersed in learning Torah, it's impossible for the person to sort of tolerate discrepancy or to tolerate inaccuracy. The person is learning, he's connected with Emes. So ironically, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is learning Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be flexible in the judgment because everything has to be perfect and precise. However, din, the loitzib bei emes, but the second quarter of the day, when Hashem is merely judging the world, he's no longer learning Torah, whatever this means, therefore there's room for flexibility, there's room for mercy. Like the Gemara said, that on the second quarter of the day, Hashem actually sees that the world is guilty. Hashem gets up from the seat of judgment and sits on the throne of mercy. When the king is judging, then there's room for mercy. But when the king is immersed in emes, in truth, then there's going to be precision and accuracy, and there's no room for mercy. So Rabbi Yosef says that a person should not daven the Musaf prayer, where we're really putting ourselves out with the Malchus, Zechariah, and Shofar. That's when we're really being judged. A person should not daven the Musaf prayer alone during the first 3 hours of the day. We usually don't do it anyway. A person should wait till after the 3 hours of the day, because that way there's a tzibur out there. Most people are davening then. But a tzibur itself, if you're actually davening with a minyan, then there's no concern. A person can even daven during the first 3 hours of the day. Because that's when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is judging the world. Either he's actually engaged in judgment, or the very act of studying Torah creates this precision that doesn't tolerate any leniencies. Okay, now this Gemara, as fascinating as it is actually brought lahalacha. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch, Tav Kuf Tzadik Aleph Simen Ches. It's the last sif in Tav Kuf Tzadik Aleph. Those are the halachas of the Musaf prayer on Rosh Hashanah. Lo yispalo biyachid tfilas Musaf b'Rosh Hashanah ad achra gimel shoyis hayom. That, plain and simple, the Gemara paskins that we're not allowed to daven Musaf alone, biyachidus, if we ever find ourselves in a situation when there's no minyan, a person should not daven Musaf alone during the first 3 hours of the day. It's too dangerous because the person's tefillah might be rejected because Hashem is judging. Either he's learning Torah, which is MS, or he's judging, and therefore we should wait till the second quarter of the day. That's what's brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah explains, Madinok at Rosh Hashanah. So why only Rosh Hashanah? After all, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is not specifically referring to Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is referring to every single year, every single day of the year. After Bechol Yoyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Don Oilamai, that should be Begimel Shois Rishonis, even though Hashem judges the world the first quarter of the day, or he's learning Torah the first quarter of the day, that applies to every single day. Nevertheless, the Shom Eino Elu LaPekidah Ba'alma, Hashem only judges the world every single day. He just looks into the din. He visits the din. But Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Don L'Kol Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging for the entire year. He's not just glancing at the ledgers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, is judging the world for the entire outcome of the next year. U'lepa'amim l'shanim rabbis. It's fascinating what the Mishnah Berurah says. Sometimes the din of Rosh Hashanah could even impact many years to come. It's not just for the coming year. The din, we might be inscribed and sealed in a din that could have impact, that could have relevance for many years to come. A person might have the psak that he should live for 120 years. That's relevant for many years. He might have the psak that he'll be wealthy. That's for many years. He might have the psak that he'll be successful in his Torah learning, in his ruchnius, and that could be a whole lifetime of activity. So the Rosh Hashanah din is very important. It's not just for this one year. It includes this year, but it could impact many years to come. Therefore, we have to be especially careful not to daven the Musaf during the first 3 hours of the day. Rabbi Yosef tells us it's a dangerous time to be alone during that time, because that time is when Hashem is judging or learning Torah, and that's when the din could potentially be the harshest. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says.
B'davka tefilas Musaf. What's the Mishnah Berurah source for that?
So he quotes it from the Achronim there. Yeah. Now, v'davka tefilas Musaf shezman kol hayom. So says the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah continues that this only applies to Rosh Hashanah. Davka tefilas Musaf shezman kol hayom. That this only applies for the tefilas Musaf, where you can daven all day. Regilim ha'olam la'achrei achakim ha'shoyis. So the Mishnah Berurah explains that the only reason why this applies to Musaf, a little bit different than what Rashi said, because Musaf is something that could be davened all day long. So the first 3 hours of the day is not designated for Musaf. So that's why if you're davening Musaf alone, it's not considered that you're davening Musaf along with the rest of the world, because the rest of the world could be davening Musaf anytime during the day. But Tfilas Shacharis, Regilam Ha'olam Mespal Baboiker V'Tekim L'Shoyis V'Shoynes, Shacharis anyway, most of the time you're davening during the first 3 hours, because the max is the fourth hour of the day. So most people try to daven the Shmona Esrei, the Shacharis Shmona Esrei, before the end of the first 3 hours. And therefore it's designated as the Dan Tfila. So even if I'm davening Shacharis alone, it's considered that you're davening Shacharis along with the rest of the world. But Musaf is considered that you're davening alone unless you daven later. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that in a, let's say you're living in a city where you're stuck at home, and you happen to know that all the minyanim are davening with the Hashkama minyan. So says the Mishnah Berurah, you should make sure to daven Shacharis also along when the Tzibur is davening. It's advantageous because even the Shacharis, if your community is davening earlier, you'll have the extra assistance of davening along with the Tzibur, even if you can't make it to shul. But if you daven by yourself after, then you don't have the extra assistance of the Tzibur. The Mishnah Berurah also brings from the Halachas of Shofar, he brings this from the Maril, that the Gam Le'inyan Shofar Yizoyar HaYokev Melitkoya Ad Achar Gimel Shoyis Bayoyim Achar Hadin. So the Poiskim, the Maril, they make an analogy, just like Rabbi Yosef says that you shouldn't daven Musaf during the first 3 hours of the day, either because the Musaf is the prayer that has the Malchus, Achronis, and Shofars, like Rashi says, or like the Mishnah Berurah brings from other Poiskim from the Magen Avram, that Musaf, people are primarily davening later, not davening now, so you're davening by yourself. The same thing applies to Shofar. Since the community at large blows the Shofar before and after Musaf later on in the day, so you should not be blowing Shofar alone at home during the first 3 hours. That's when the din is harshest. And we don't want to risk our shofar blowing that's meant to do all of the important things that we discussed last week. We don't want to risk doing that alone and being singled out, and perhaps whatever this means, that my shofar blowing would be rejected. So that's the Shulchan Aruch with the Mishnah Berurah based on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah on Daf Dal. There's a fascinating Tosfos on Daf Gimel on the days in Maseches of Avodah Zarah. So Tosfos says that he brings the first version. So remember, there might be a machlokes about this between Rabbi Yosef and the Gemara before, or perhaps Rabbi Yosef agrees, but there seems to be a question whether the first 3 hours of the day is when Hashem judges, or is it the second 3 hours when Hashem judges. So says Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, based on this, we can explain. Yesh Oimrim, Tosfos quotes, Ki lakach tiknu bikdushas musaf loimer. Did anybody ever wonder why the Kedusha of Musaf, the Nusach, is different than the Kedusha of the Shachar Shmona Esrei? The Musaf Shmona Esrei, the Kedusha, we include a very beautiful phrase, Mimkomo hu yifen berachamim. So the Sfardim say it a little different, La'amo v'yochein am, Hashem should have mercy. Hashem should turn in mercy from his place, and he should have mercy on Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael says Kriya Shema twice a day. Where does this beautiful tefillah come in to the Kedusha of Musaf, that we ask Hashem, we beseech Hashem to move from his place, to turn from his place, and give us rachamim? So Tosfos says, because kistam Musaf b'shnias ba, because we already said that the congregation usually davens Musaf during the second quarter of the day, the second 3 hours of the day. V'az, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah told us that he's yoshev vidan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds the world guilty, but instead of convicting the world to destruction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets up and goes to the Kivei Rachamim. So that's exactly why during the Tfilas Musaf, Anu Mispalin Shiyifane Mikisei Shiyifne, Mikisei Din, Lo Sheves Mikisei Rachamim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should turn from the Kisei Din, and he should sit on the Kisei Rachamim. The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah that every single day, the second quarter of the day, according to that opinion, is critical, because we're being judged, and chances are we don't have the merit to survive. We need the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to get up and give us that mercy, but we have to beseech Hashem for that. So that's why whenever we daven Musaf, which is usually during the second quarter of the day. That's why we have this special tefillah that Hashem should turn to us in rachem. But then Tosfos says that it's not so clear, because it would be based on the Gemara. Because remember, the two Gemaras, there was a bit of a contradiction, a bit of an argument, whether the first 3 hours of the day is the judgment or the second 3 hours. But based on the original version of the Gemara, that the second 3 hours are the hours of judgment, and that's when Hashem employs His mercy, so that would explain why in the Tfilas Musaf, which is usually David in the second quarter of the day, that's why we ask Hashem indeed for this mercy, because Hashem is prepared to be Mavater and give us this mercy. Now there's another thing, a minhag, that is based on this Gemara, the Poskim debate. The Rama says at the end of Simin Tuf Kuf Pebes, V'zeloshoinai, so I quoted the Rama. Noyegin shekol echad oimer lechaveray l'shana tova tikosev. So the Rama says that the minhag is that, and we do this the night of Rosh Hashanah, we each, after davening, we each turn to each other and we shake hands. Maybe this year we won't be shaking hands. We turn to our friends and we say, L'shana tova tikosev, that you should be inscribed for a good year. Now, that's what the Rama says. The Magen Avraham, he quotes the Nusach he brings from other Achrayim. He quotes the Nusach that we're more accustomed to say. Says the Magen Avraham in Tzipkat Nches, Tikasev v'seichosein, that we all turn to each other and we say, I wish you well, you should be written, you should be inscribed in the Book of Life, and you should be sealed in the Book of Life. That's what the Magen Avraham says. The Rama doesn't say that. The Rama says that the original custom, was just to say, Sikasev, that you should be inscribed, you should be written in the Book of Life. We don't say to each other we should be sealed in the Book of Life. But the Magen Avraham adds, he brings some other achronim from later commentaries, that we should add, we should all greet each other, you should be written and sealed in the Book of Life. Now we know that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that there are three books that are open before Hashem and Rosh Hashanah. One book is the book of the righteous, that they are written, they are inscribed and sealed for Chayim immediately on Rosh Hashanah. There's another book for the Rishayim, for the wicked. Loyaleinu, we shouldn't be in that category, that the person is inscribed and he's sealed in the Sefer of Misa, Lamavis. And then we have the Beinoni. We all are supposed to consider ourselves to be average, that we're in a growing mode, we're average. So the Gemara tells us they are written in the book on Rosh Hashanah, and it's not sealed until after the 10 days of repentance on Yom Kippur. So nevertheless, the Magen Avraham says that we should all wish each other on Rosh Hashanah to be written and inscribed and sealed in the Book of Life. So says the Magen Avraham, Mechein Nochon, that's the proper way to greet your friend. Sheyachziku letzadik, that although we should consider ourselves to be average, but we should all look at one another as if you're righteous. So I'm average and you're righteous, and you should look at it as yourself, you're average and I'm righteous. We should all be looking and giving each other the benefit of the doubt that we're all righteous. So says the Magen Avraham, although the average person is written on Rosh Hashanah and sealed on Yom Kippur, but we should all wish one another that you should be written and sealed on Rosh Hashanah. We should all be machzik each other as being tzadikim shenechtam la'alter l'chay. Now, this is where it ties into what we're discussing. The Levush writes that you should not say, the time to say Shana Tova tikasev, or the Shana Tova tikasev v'seichasem, written and sealed, whichever version you want to use, the Ramah or the Magen Avraham in the name of the Achrayim, the Levush writes the time to say that is the night of Rosh Hashanah and the following morning before the end of the first 3 hours. Because after the first 3 hours, it was already Nigmar Deksiva. The judgment already occurred and it's finished, right? The first 3 hours of the day is the primary judgment. So there's no point anymore in saying that you should be inscribed in the Book of Life, because the judgment is over after the first 3 hours, because the Gemara tells us that the first 3 hours is when Hashem judges the world. Now, if you remember, the Gemara said later on Daf Dalit, right, Rabbi Yosef possibly held that the first 3 hours is when we're judged. But the original version was that the judgment of every day occurs the second quarter of the day, right? The second group of 3 hours, hour number 4, 5, and 6. So the Magen Avraham actually asks that. But Tzarachian, the Magen Avraham, argues on the Levush. Why does the Levush say that the judgment essentially is over after the first 3 hours? Because we primarily hold, like the first Gemara, that the judgment occurs the second 3 hours. It's very interesting because the Gemara, again, is primarily talking about every day of the year. It's not primarily talking about Rosh Hashanah, but the Gemara on Daf Dalet applies it to Rosh Hashanah as well. So we're looking at it now as if that's when the primary judgment is. Either it's the first 3 hours or it's the second 3 hours. The Levush seems to hold that the primary judgment is the first 3 hours based on the second Gemara. But the Magen Avraham, he challenges the Levush that we should paskin like the first Gemara, that the primary judgment is the second 3 hours. So says the Magen Avraham, Tzarachian, the Ho'anan Amrinon Mimkomo Hu Yifed Barachamim. Don't we have that, like Tosfos says? Don't we say in our Musaf Shmona Esrei, every Musaf, every Shabbos, and every Yom Tov, Mimkomo Hu Yifed Barachamim? And Tosfos explains, because that reflects the fact that the second 3 hours of the day is when Hashem is judging, and that's when we need the mercy. So you see that we primarily hold, like the first Gemara, that the judgment occurs the second 3 hours of the day. And that's because we paskin, as if it's up to us, we paskin that Hashem is judging the second quarter of the day. And we're asking that Hashem should turn in mercy. Like the, now this, I think this stands for Hagos Maimonis. So this Gimel Mem Nun, Hagos Maimonis, so he paskins like the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, that indeed is why we say Mimkomo Hu Yifin Brachmin. That's why during the Musaf Shmona Esrei, which is usually davened in the second quarter of the day, we ask Hashem to turn in mercy, because that's when the judgment is occurring every single day. So why does the Levush say that the judgment is over the first quarter of the day? Even though Tosfos says that it might not be the reason, but since we paskin like the first Gemara, says the Magen Avraham, so we should assume that the judgment is at least going on until Chatzos, until the second quarter, which is the second 3 hours, up until midday, like the Gemara's Teretz, that it's not necessary to switch around, that Rav Yosef agrees that that is the outline of Hashem's day, that the judgment occurs the second quarter of the day. And then the Magen Avraham goes on to say that the Targum Yonasan and the Yushalmi explain the Pasuk Hatzur Tamim Po'alo, that Pasuk is teaching us, the Targum explains that Pasuk to mean that the judgment occurs the second quarter of the day. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, you're allowed to turn to your friend and say, Lashana Tova Tikase V'Sechasem, until after Chatzos, until after midday, because the judgment is not considered to have been inscribed or for a tzaddik sealed until the second quarter of the day, which brings you till midday, till chatzos, till the middle of the day. Now, he also brings there an interesting minhag. We don't do this, that on Yom Kippur, when the judgment is really being finalized for all of us, the minhag was that we say mimkomo by every single tefillah, mishum dehakadosh baruch hu don kol hayom kulo. On Yom Kippur, it's a special that Hashem judges the entire day. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is talking about every day. The Gemara applies it to Rosh Hashanah. But on Yom Kippur, Hashem judges the entire day. So there's a minhag to say, Mimkomo Hu Yifin Barachamin. We should ask Hashem for the mercy, because Hashem is judging intensely the entire day. It's amazing halachas and minhagim that are based on this Agadat Gemara, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends the day. Now, I just wanted to conclude with a fascinating concept from the Vilna Gaon. The Magen Avraham brings another shita from the Asara Maimaris. It's a sefer called Asara Maimaris, that even to tzaddikim, now the Gemara tells us that tzaddikim are inscribed and sealed on Rosh Hashanah, but says the sefer Asara Maimaris that even to tzaddikim, they're not sealed until Yom Kippur. It's only inscribed on Rosh Hashanah. So this Asara Maimaris, the Magen Avraham brings it at the end, like the Ramah, and this might be what the Ramah means. The Ramah says that the custom was only to turn to your friend and say, L'shana Tova Tikaseiv, that you should be inscribed, right? And not to say you should be sealed, because nobody's judgment is sealed on Rosh Hashanah. So we were understanding the Ramah, that the reason why the minig was just to say that you should be tikasev, you should be inscribed, but not to mention the sealing of the judgment, because we treat each other like we're beinonim. The Magen Avraham brings that we should treat each other like we're tzaddikim, so we should say tikasev v'sei chasev, that you're inscribed and sealed. But the Asara Mamara says, even tzaddikim are not sealed on Rosh Hashanah, right? They're only inscribed. The judgment is not finalized and sealed until Yom Kippur, even for the tzaddikim. So maybe that's what the Ramah means, that we should only say tikasev, because even if you are a tzaddik, the judgment is only written on Rosh Hashanah. So the question is, how could the Asara Mamara say that? It says, beferish in Rosh Hashanah, we quoted the Gemara before, that there are three books that are open before Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. One is the utterly wicked, one is the utterly righteous, and one of the average. The utterly righteous are written and sealed la'alter l'chayim, and Rishayim Gemurim are written and sealed for Misa, and the Beinonim, their judgment is pending from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur. If they merit, chayim, if not, Misa. So how could the Asara Memaris write that only that even the tzaddikim are only written on Rosh Hashanah, but their judgment is not sealed until Yom Kippur? It seems to be baffling. It seems to contradict an open Gemara. The Gemara says that tzaddikim are written and sealed on Rosh Hashanah. How could the Asara Memaris say that it's only written and it's not sealed until Yom Kippur, even for the tzaddikim? So the Vilna Gaon, it's a fascinating Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon actually paskins like the Asara Memaris and like the Ramah, that we should only turn to one another and say tikasev, that you should be written, and we should not wish the person he should be sealed, because nobody is sealed on Rosh Hashanah, even the tzaddikim. The Vilna Gaon is machzik in the shita of the Asara Memaris. Just by the way, so I don't know if we should go ahead and practice like the Vilna Gaon, unless you always practice all the minhagim, the Vilna Gaon, I would still recommend going with the Magen Avraham, because that's the current. That is the minig of the world, that we say sikasei v'sei chasei. We're just learning the Vilna Gaon here because it's a fascinating beer in the whole evening. So says the Vilna Gaon, he's machzik the das. He reinforces, he supports the opinion of the Asara Maimaris, and the Vilna Gaon explains the following. This that it says, shloisha svarim, this that it says that there are three books and that the righteous are written and sealed immediately on Rosh Hashanah, that's referring to Chaye Olam Haba. It's fascinating. On Rosh Hashanah, we're not only judged about the coming year, we're not only judged about many years to come, like the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Achronim, we're even judged about our status in Olam Haba. And all the Bali Musar and the Mefarshim, they all discuss, like, why are we being judged now? In Mirtz Hashem, we should all live Ad Me'a V'esrim. Why are we being judged now regarding our status in Olam Haba? And the Mefarshim explained, because what do you think determines how our year is going to be? Our year is going to be based on our status in Olam Haba. If a person deserves a portion in Olam Haba, so Hashem looks at the person differently even while he's alive. We have an expression, he's a ben olam haba, right? A ben olam haba means that he's a member in the olam haba club. See, even while he's living in this world, it makes a big difference if we can say about ourselves that we're a ben olam haba. So that's going to be like the driving force in what's going to drive the decision of how our year is going to be. We're not judged in a vacuum. We're judged from top to bottom. We're judged, what is our status even in Olam Haba? So that judgment, what is our status of Olam Haba? What level Olam Haba does each and every one of us deserve? That's judged on Rosh Hashanah. That is inscribed and sealed on Rosh Hashanah. Our status of Olam Haba is locked in every Rosh Hashanah. But this that it says, that the Vilna Gaon says and the Sefer Memara says, that it's written on Rosh Hashanah, but it's not sealed until Yom Kippur, that's the practical din of the outcome of this year in the physical world. There are two judgments going on. Our status of are we a ben olam haba or not, that's established on Rosh Hashanah. Tzaddikim are written and sealed on Rosh Hashanah. But even tzaddikim the way their year is actually going to play out. We know that sometimes a tzaddik, Nebuch Lo Yalenu, has to pass away this year. Just because he's a Ben Olam Haba doesn't mean he's going to live forever. Maybe this year is going to be the year that he passes away. So he's judged and sealed on Rosh Hashanah if he's a Ben Olam Haba. But the actual year is not decided until Yom Kippur. That's the fascinating opinion of the Vilna Gaon, how it works in Rosh Hashanah. So it's a powerful message. On Rosh Hashanah, we're judged on so much. So much depends on Rosh Hashanah. We're judged whether we're a Ben Olam Haba, our status in the next world. We're judged now. We're judged for many years to come. It might impact many years to come, like the Mishnah Berurah brings. And our judgment is judged for this world, for this coming year especially. What's going to be the outcome of the year? Whether or not we're described, we're signed and sealed as a Ben Olam Haba, so for Tzaddikim that occurs in Rosh Hashanah. But how the actual year is going to play out, that's not decided until Yom Kippur, even for Tzaddikim. That's the opinion of the Vilna Gaon. So the Vilna Gaon says, when we wish one another, L'shana tova tikasev, or v'seichasev, la'altar, l'chayim tovim u'l'shalom, we're talking about the judgment of this world. So the Vilna Gaon says, we should only talk about the ksiva, the writing, not the sealing, because that doesn't occur until Yom Kippur. So it's a fascinating idea. We get a little glimpse of Hashem's daily schedule and how it impacts Rosh Hashanah and the various opinions of when the judgment occurs in Rosh Hashanah. And there are those who say that on Yom Kippur, all of this is suspended and we're judged the entire day. We should say, Mimkomo hu yifin barachamim, the entire day. And when exactly is the judgment written and sealed seems to be a dispute among the commentaries. And the minhag that we do is that we wish one another l'shana tova tikasev v'seichasev. So we should all be zoicha taka to a good gebench, yor of health and ruchnius and growth, l'shana tova tikasev v'seichasev. Yes, so that's a good question. So charata, yes, so Rabbi Aaron Cutler talks about all that. If a person has charata on a mitzvah, it takes away the mitzvah retroactively. But that's also how tshuva works. It takes away the aveira retroactively. So that's why the tshuva works even on this world, because we can take away the aveiras retroactively. We can change how things are. Okay, a gavaldika. Everyone should have a good bench door and a good and we should continue our avoid of elul and be zeicha to aksiv aksima time. Okay, yasha koyach everybody.
Beautiful. Shkoyach. All the shmana.